God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last Sunday was a glorious Sunday as we had the opportunity to hear God's word and to receive his sacraments. For those of us who also would enjoy a good football game and being a Bears fan, there was a fantastic game. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it. I was at the installation of the district president, enjoying another worship and hearing God's word again being proclaimed and receiving the sacrament again. But I heard the aftermath. I heard the results, which brought a smile to my face. And the reason why I named that is a little bit of an introduction to our message, because the Bears have to do something a little bit different today. Last week, the game took place in Green Bay. They won undefeated, so to speak. There was no scores against them. However, if they basked in the glory of that game too much, and if they wanted to enjoy the game too much, and remember the game, and savor the game, and not move, they're going to run into a problem. Because today's game is not in Green Bay, nor is it against the Green Bay Packers, but it's back home in Chicago, against the Detroit Lions. I bring this up as sort of an illustration here that the Bears have to move. They have to go to where the battle is, so to speak, where the game is. If they don't, they'll actually have to forfeit the game, and they'll lose the game instead of hopefully winning unto victory. How that's going to connect in today's sermon topic is, for Christians, we have a similar thing we have to undergo. We have to know where the battle is. If we're not at the right place at the right time, we will lose. But if we are at the right place at the right time, well, then the battle is won for us. What am I alluding to is very often as Christians, we run into a little bit of a trap. Let me use another illustration to sort of give you my point. Back many years ago, during the time of, some of you may know about this, McCarthyism, where it seemed like anything that had to do with communism was taboo. It was something to be fought against. Except for, where is communism now? We have the fall of the Berlin Wall. We have the Soviet Union being broken up. What was once yesterday's enemy, so to speak, of America, in one essence, are almost today's friends. That has to make the Christians stop and think for a moment. With all this hype about saying about the enemy is out there and we need to defeat the enemy, we have to ask ourselves, wait a minute, history shows us that Germany is no longer the enemy. Russia is no longer the enemy. Maybe we were misinformed. Getting back to our text, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, notes who the correct enemy actually is. In that second line, he says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Notice Paul doesn't name any political parties. He doesn't name any countries. He's talking about Satan, the evil one. These are the schemes the Christian needs to worry about. Needless to say, also think about it this way. As our bulletin cover depicts, it has a metal piece of armor. Who does that metal piece of armor protect? It protects one person, the person behind the armor. So are we talking about necessarily a national conflict? No. We're talking about a personal conflict. Where does the conflict really result? The conflict is really at war within us. Where does the battle that needs to really be fought? It is the battle of sin that separates us from God's love. That's the crucial thing. Because if we are separated from God's love, we will not be with Him in heaven above. We will have lost the war that Christ won for us with his death and resurrection upon the cross. The victory will not be ours. No, our text for today describes a battle, not against foreign powers, but against the devil. The reason why I also want to name it, because even though I don't like to preach, so to speak, from Sunday's paper, but the current headlines and today's topic fit very, very well. Some of you may be acquainted with the Pope's comments about Islam. And then his comments about how Islam was an evil thing. Well, he has sort of retracted those comments, so to speak. But in the meantime, there was a couple of churches that were burned in the Middle East as protest against, and some other acts of violence also in protest against the Pope's words. However, we have to remember something very, very important, that Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins of the whole world. Even for people who reject the forgiveness of sins, Christ still loves them. Christ still died for them. Yes, I have no problems in saying the Islamic faith does not trust in Jesus. They do not believe in the salvation that Jesus procured on the cross for our salvation. But just because they don't trust in Jesus doesn't make them the enemy. If you wiped out every single Islamic person, the entire Muslim religion, does that solve Christianity's problems? The answer is no. Does that solve the problems you're currently facing right now? Again, the answer is no. Our salvation is not based upon what we do. It's based upon what Christ did. Now, do you believe that truly with your heart, your soul, and all your strength? Because there are many people out there who are trying to convince you and say, the battle is out there, we have to rally the troops. But in reality, we take a look at our text. Let me continue on. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And what Paul here is referring to is not the internal flesh and blood, because that is where the struggle really is ultimately at, but the external flesh, referring to other people, other countries, things outside of us. Because he goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Notice Paul very clearly sets the stage. He isn't talking about some people group. He isn't talking about people with different skin tones or different language or even different belief systems or political systems. What he's talking about is sin, death, and the devil. And notice he's talking about this as a struggle. Because this is a struggle as Christians we have to face every day. Every day we face the various temptations of the devil. Our text describes those temptations as, he says a little bit later on, he says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Basically, bottom line, my friends, if you are in this world, you will be having those flaming arrows being shot at you by the evil one. Temptation will come in many different forms. There will be many struggles in this life. But notice the solution here. The solution is back to Christ. As Paul so beautifully describes, he says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Basically, that word of God. With the breastplate of righteousness. Where is our righteousness? Our righteousness is the righteousness that Christ our Lord gives to us. Our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Not the gospel of war, if there was such a thing, which there isn't. In addition, take up the shield of faith. And notice he uses that shield of faith as the defense against the temptations of the evil one. The shield of faith is not going to defend us if some foreign power wants to come in and invades us and overwhelms our military. Let's make sure we're fighting the right battle. Because too often we want to put so much energies into the wrong battle, we leave ourselves vulnerable and we don't feel the flaming darts, so to speak, the flaming arrows of the evil one coming upon us until it's way too late and we have gone astray. And notice what the Apostle Paul even says. Pray also for me. He's not saying he has completely conquered this. While he is still living in this world like you and me, we will still be under this temptation. This temptation to put our energies in different directions instead of back to Christ and His Word. For a moment, let's go back to that Christ and His Word and take a look again at that temptation of that evil one. As Christians, we know things will not go our way. And when things don't go our way, we are tempted to put our energies into some other things to make them go our way. But who said our way is the right way? Again, are we fighting the correct battle? In our prayers, we very often should be praying, "Thy will be done." But how many times have we struggled in our prayer life because it doesn't seem like God is answering my prayers? Well, hold on a second, my brothers and sisters in Christ. If they are my prayers, am I reflecting His will? That's the real question I have to ask. Because too often we try to fool ourselves and saying, "Oh yeah, what I desire in life, what I am praying for is for good and noble causes. God, why aren't you answering my good and noble causes?" Maybe because our energies and our battles are in the wrong direction. Maybe we need to come to realize that maybe God's will is a little bit different than our will. Maybe we need to realize we're not God. Paul also had struggled with the thorn in the flesh. But for God's grace and glory, it wasn't removed from him. Likewise, the Christians are also called to take up our crosses, the burdens that we have in this life, and follow him, realizing that as we put on the armor of God, we put our faith and trust in him alone, we are overcoming the temptations of the death, sin, death, and the devil, because that is where the real battle ultimately is. Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to overcome sin, death, and the devil. He descended into hell to proclaim himself as victor. He has won the battle. He has given us the tools that we need. But very often, we give in to temptations and we put our energies and strengths in the wrong battle, in the wrong defenses, and we get ourselves into trouble. We can see that in the distresses of our prayer life, in the temptations in our lives. So what do we need to do? We need to go back to where that full armor of God is. Not necessarily as the cover of our bulletin depicts. We're not all going to be wearing clinky armor like that. But going back to where God has his promises. Where God's word is being proclaimed. That part of that armor of God. Where God says, "You know, I've died on the cross. I've sent my son Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. I've conquered sin, death, and the devil upon the cross. And I'm going to give that again to you as we come to do what? Kneel before the Lord. To receive in our hands what? The very body of Christ. To be placed in our mouths the wine, the very blood of Christ. The very body and blood of Christ being consumed with that bread and the wine, to give us that victory, to strengthen our faith, to forgive our sins. We cherish what God provides if we truly understand the correct battle. If we truly understand what we're really fighting against, we thank the Lord for this precious gift. We couldn't dare be without it. I mentioned last Sunday that, yes, I didn't get a chance to see the glorious Bears game. Instead, I was at the installation of our district president in a full divine service where God's word was being proclaimed, God's word was being read, and again, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper being administered. And you might be saying, "But Pastor, you already celebrated it twice in the morning. Did you need it one more time in the afternoon?" And the answer is, you better believe it. Because it is in His Word and in His sacrament we have strength. It is in His Word and in His sacrament we have protection from the flaming arrows of the evil one. It is in His Word and in His sacrament we have the victory that Christ gives to us through His death on the cross. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are aware of the correct battle, then we have come to the right place for the solution. We need to put on the full armor of God. The battle isn't against countries. It isn't against whether I have poverty or I have prosperity. It's against our sinful nature. Those things that are trying to get us to leave God's love and grace is sin. And the sin is the most important thing that we need to struggle against us. because anything that wants to pull us away from eternal life and the forgiveness of sin that Christ gives to us, we better squash. And we can't squash it by ourselves. We need God to do it. And He gives that to us in His Word and in His sacraments. So this day we give thanks and praise that we have a Savior who has come to us, defeated sin, death, and the devil, and has given us the tools, the means to keep us in this faith. We ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us so that we truly understand where the correct battle is. And we ask the Lord to encourage us in the faith because, yes, we are going to have those flaming arrows or darts being tossed at us by the evil one. So we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen our faith through His Word and sacrament so that we can stand up firm against that temptation. And in that final day, we can be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven above. The greatest battle, unfortunately, is before us now. I wish I could say it's somewhere over there so we don't have to worry about it. But it's a battle we face each and every day. Fortunately, we don't face it alone. Our Lord is with us to strengthen us and to encourage us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.